Testing, how's it sound? Jake, your dad? Can everyone hear me okay? Is it okay? Okay. So we're trying to get it cool in here. It'll warm up, believe me. It'll get very warm here very shortly. So we're going to go ahead and begin. We'll start with our typical introduction, but it will be a little different tonight because we're going to be spending more time on Gandharva Ved and our award recipients. So special guest, distinguished award recipients, faculty, Invincible American course participants. We have some here, I hope. And there you're done. Students and community members, we warmly invite you to enjoy the 35th annual summer celebration. And this is being put on by the Marshy Peace Palace. We moved it over here because last year it was just too small. We have to build another one. This celebration is one of the four seasonal celebrations that we have every year on the summer, fall, winter, and spring. And it's to celebrate the Age of Enlightenment and the different seasons that come at this time. The festivals are everywhere in the world. Around the U.S. right now, we had, I think it was 74, 75 of them yesterday on Saturday night. They had a big national program to celebrate the summer celebration. And with the changing of the seasons, summer into autumn, autumn into winter, winter into spring, and spring to summer, this change is the change of evolution. And at every stage of evolution, there's an old proverb, well begun is half done. So tonight, we're going to have a great beginning for this new season. It's our tradition to inaugurate the beginning of each season with festivities and celebration. So in order to create a more powerful momentum for prosperity and progress, that's what we're going to achieve tonight. These festivals set the season in the tempo of success for noble aspirations and higher achievements. As we hear about the great people who are receiving awards tonight, we're certain that everyone will be motivated to rise in success and responsibility to improve the quality of their own life in this community. Here's a quote from Maharishi. The golden radiance of the summer sun brilliantly illuminates the fullness of life. Nature's law rise in waves of beauty and happiness and all possibilities. Now is the time to enjoy success in action. So, as I promised everyone, there wouldn't be a lot of talking tonight. Tonight we have a special celebration in store, and we're going to have Master Flautist Binoy Krishna Baral. Many probably don't know his full name. They just know him as our beloved Binoy. And he'll be playing with Karen Aoki over here. And then we're going to have a break and have a candle lighting, cake cutting, present the awards, and then go right back into music with a brief interlude of some poetry by Bill the Locksmith, which you probably don't even know his last name either. But now, Binoy has been here in Fairfield now for 8 years. He's been teaching Gandharva Ved to the Marshy School students and to MUM students. He's also been going to school. He's getting his MA in Vedic Science here at MUM. So he's very, very busy, and we're very lucky to get him to pull away and give us his time this evening. And Karen Aoki is a doctoral student in the Vedic Science program as well, and she's destined for TTC this August. So she's also very busy, so it's really going to be quite enjoyable. So we'll start the celebration with some beautiful Gandharva Veda music, and then we'll proceed from there. So Jai Guru Dev. Thank you. Jay Gurdev. That was fantastic. Thank you. How do you follow that? So the next item on our program tonight is the traditional candle lighting and cake cutting ceremony. So the first part of the ceremony is the lighting of the light, a pure consciousness. For this is a joy to call upon the Pradhans. The Pradhans are our MVVT experts here in Fairfield at the Marshy Peace Palace. They're also our TM City administrators for our TM City refresher course. And they're also our advanced technique teachers. And they're also a great, great, great joy to have here. They're wonderful, wonderful people, so I'd like to call them up to light the cake.
On behalf of the holy tradition, our beloved Maharshiji, Maharaja Dhiraja, Raja Ram, and the global country of world peace, we light this light, symbolic of pure consciousness, the light of life for all mankind.
Light won't go out. You can just put it there. Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Many years ago, when I was at Livingston Manor as a director there, Marshy wanted a video of us having our first summer celebration there as it became an all-men's facility. So they made a video of it, and I cut the candle and I lit the cake, and I did the same thing tonight. So it must be meant to be. So now we're at the stage of cutting the cake. And I'd like to call upon Olga Hopkins, the director of the Ladies Peace Palace, to come. We would have Ron Carpenter, who was supposed to be here as well. He's the assistant director at the men's. He was tied up. So Olga, do you want help from Ellen? So we'll call upon Ellen Roth as well, Bobby's little sister. Anybody got a knife? That on a knife.
It's coming. Cutting the cake is a symbolic of effortless action to bring forth and perpetuate the full sunshine of the age of enlightenment and creation of heaven on earth.
You can take it back to your seat if you want. And now we're going to move on to the presenting of the Maharishi Awards. The Maharishi Award is the expression of the highest esteem of the community, and it's presented to those who, through their creativity and success in life, demonstrate the potential for success inherent in the life of every individual. Success is the display of superior creativity, energy, and intelligence, and reflects a profound command of life's inner potential. Drawing upon the deepest levels of consciousness, the successful individual is able to act in harmony with all the laws of nature and thereby bring clarity, strength, and perfection to his thinking and activity. It's through this alliance with nature that successful individuals grace the world around them with progress and prosperity. Now, it's my great pleasure to introduce the person that will introduce the first two award recipients. I know they do a lot for the particular project they work on, so it's hard to describe what they do. But to describe what Jefferson Aiken does, who will be introducing him, is even harder. It's probably easier to think of what he hasn't done yet. Jefferson's been in so many different positions and so many different projects. If there's a special project going on in the last 35, or I won't say how old he is, 20 years, let's say 25 years, he's been involved. So Jefferson, if you'd come up and introduce the first two. I can give you a hint. He works with the pundits out in Vedic City, and he's traveled to India many times to bring the pundits here. Maybe he'll make it up here. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Jigar Dev. Dr. Wallace, what a joy to see you. And Peter, too. It's hard to know where to begin when we're talking of our first two award recipients, Sandy Crow, Dr. Sandy Crow and Dr. Eloise Raymond. Excuse me. Marshy said that when one comes to someone else, they should always come to give. And then Marshy took it to the next level, which was the Vedic level, which when two people come together, if they both come to give, then they both receive. And these are the highest principles that we have as governors of the Age of Enlightenment, to bring Maharshiji's knowledge to everyone. And in return, we receive so much back. And if I may, and I've checked this with the Brain Police, they have given me just a tidbit of what they've done for the movement full time. And if you indulge me, I'd like to read to you some of their fantastic achievements that they have given of themselves so freely. Starting with Dr. Sandy, she started working with the movement full time in 1971, longer than me. And she became a teacher of the Transcendental Meditation Program in Majorca, in Fuji, in 72, is that right? 72? Since then, she's set up and engaged in all kinds of resonance courses, CAC courses, CIC courses. She attended minister training courses. And she's been deeply involved in fundraising with the Maharishi School, with Jane Hobson, and our dear Bobby. And her and her husband, Stan, have become substantial donors to the movement, and to especially to the Maharishi Vedic Pundit Project, giving not only of their finances, but of their time, which is more valuable than anything that anyone has to give is of themselves, is the highest. And it's in 2007, in November, that Sandy began working with Roger Wynn and Dr. Eloise on fundraising for the Maharishi Vedic Pundit Project. And her husband, they've contributed to building one of the mandaps on the Pundit campus, which was so sorely needed for the pundits to do their yagyas in proper vastu, and we thank you deeply for doing that. It was just a few of the things that Sandy has done. So precious what she's done. I'm in awe of what you've done, what you both of you have accomplished, so thank you. Dr. Eloise, what do I say about Dr. Eloise? She has done so much, everything from being on Mother Divine for all those years, being course leader for Marcy's teacher training courses, and then she's also worked for Marcy Global Construction. The list goes on and on and on and on. Probably shouldn't take any more time with that, but she too, I am also in total awe. She's just given of herself totally to the movement for so long, for so many years, since 1974, I believe. And for that, we thank you. Marcy thanks you. We all thank you. My wife was on one of the teacher training courses that Eloise was a course leader for, so it's such a joy. Thank you. And Eloise, just in the last years since... What year did you start working with the Pundit Project with Roger Wynn? When was it? 2007. Gosh, it seems like it's been a lifetime, though, doesn't it? She started working full-time 2007, and it's through her diligent efforts that the campus, the Marcy Vedic Pundit campus, has come as far as it has. It's just there's no construction left. Right now we have there's 1,004 pundits on campus, and we have 45 cooks and cooks assistants that take care of them, and it's all because of her efforts and Roger Wynn's efforts to bring about this wonderful campus through fundraising. And she deals so sweetly with all our donors, many of whom are here, that we just can't thank you enough for your continuing efforts and all that you've done. Just from the personal level, it's so much to me that you've done so much for the pundits, because the last thing that Marcy gave to me was to the Pundit Project when he sent me over here many years ago to do it. The last thing he said to me before he passed on was, he said, "Jefferson, you take care of my pundits. Take care of my pundits." And everyone that's associated with the project, I tell this to them, and I tell all of you now. And this is just the way that they are, the way that they feel, the way that they give of themselves to this Pundit Project. Because they are the future of the world. To maintain this Vedic tradition, to maintain this Vedic knowledge, is the highest thing that can be done on this planet. And it is our job just to assist them. As my colleague Bhupendra Daviji says, we are but instruments for them. Baiji, are you here? Can you come and help me with this? This is my colleague Bhupendra Daviji. Bhupendra ji, come on up. Bhupendra is a Brahmin himself, and without him, this wouldn't go on too. Get the garment right there. I'm asking him to come up and give me a hand with bestowing the words upon you. But just before I came, the pundits knew I was coming to this celebration to give the Marcy Award to Sandy and Dr. Eloise, and they said, "Oh, we want to give something. We want to give something." So they made a little something here, and on behalf of them, I would like for Bhupendraji to bestow this honor upon them. Can you two come up and let us give you the much richly deserved award that you're receiving? Please. Let them. So the death record, I'm just now giving you an answer to the reason. I thought I thought that was Roger Wynn calling me because he said he might call to say some words. So, do you want to garland him first?
I think some lady should garland. Some
yes. Is your wife here?
Yeah.
Ah, Nainaji. Lupinderji's wife is here also. Can you please come up? It's only appropriate in the Vedic tradition for the ladies to garland the ladies, also the putting on the tilak and things like this. Give her a hand up the stairs. Nainaji Jagardam. You should know that they both worked, Bhupendra and Nainaji worked with Mother Divine in North Carolina when they were all there for many, many years, and then when they came up here to MUM, when we found out that they were here, we said, they should be helping us. And they've helped us ever since, but please, would you take the honor to garland both Sandy and Eloise? Please come out front here.
Wow.
Why don't you give somebody a presentation?
Yeah.
Om Bhadram Karne Bihi Chunuyama Deva Bhadram Pashyemakshavirya Jatraha Stire Range Tustuva Sastano Bihi Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Om Swasti Na Indro Vradashravaha Swasti Na Pusha Vishvavedaha Swasti Nasta Raksho Aristanemihi Swasti No Brahaspatir Dadatu Om Shanti Shanti, Shanti.
Let me say a few words. I mean, few means very few. For Dr. Eloise and for Dr. Sandy, whenever there is a need in the Pandit campus, so it's just like you name it, you have it. So both of them are so giving, and most of every Sunday, Dr. Eloise and Dr. Sandy Crow both organize inviting guests at the Vedic recitation Rudrabhishek at the Pandit campus, and this gives opportunity to the community to come to the Pandit campus and experience the best the Pandits give. So that is what they do. In my simple words, they do so much things, and they are the Mother Divine in real sense. Thank you.
If you could indulge me just a little bit, I would love to read this award. It's so very, very precious. Of course, all of you have seen Marshi's picture, and the Marshi Award says, is hereby conferred upon Dr. Eloise Raymond for the area of Ministry of Cultural Integrity and World Harmony. I should say also Dr. Sandy Crow. It is with great joy and appreciation that Marshi University of Management presents to you the Maharshi Award, the expression of the highest esteem of the community. through your creativity and success in life, you have demonstrated the potential for success inherent in the life of every individual. Your life is a shining example and a demonstration to all of what is possible when one's life is favored by natural law, nature's own intelligence, which administers life on earth and in the whole universe. Your positivity, progressive influence is an essential contribution to the continuing tradition of success in the community. You want to read some, Baji? There's so much more here, but we should go move on ahead. But I'm very humbled and I'm very honored to bestow upon Dr. Eloise and Dr. Sandys this Maharshi Award from the Ministry of Cultural Integrity and World Harmony. Also, is our tradition to give the flower pushpon to each one of our recipients. I believe, Eloise, would you and Sandy like to say something? Please.
Jagar Dev, I think I can speak for both of us. Where'd you go, Sandy? That it's been an honor and a joy to do what we've been doing these many years. What Maharshi has given us is really truly a gift. We are so blessed to have his Vedic pundits with us, this largest group outside of India. Because with them added to our Super Radiance community, they really are helping to create invincibility for America. And I remember when we first started, we used to call this, we used to call it fundraising. Because it was such a joy. People wanted to give so much from the bottom of their hearts, even if it was only $1 or $2, if that's what they could give, because they wanted to help. They wanted to hold up their sticks. And I feel the two of us have been doing the same thing. We're really just instruments of the divine, helping along with all of you here and around the world to really create heaven on earth, what Maharshi always wanted for us to have. So thank you for bestowing this award on us. It really should be bestowed on all of you, because together we are all rising to the occasion. And I just, having the Vedic pundits with us is truly, truly a gift. And I have to say, if you have never come out to the pundit campus, it's very easy to do so. You just sign up online at invincibleamerica.org. And then people get rotated in to come hear the pundit's recitation. It's really quite transformational for the individual and for the society as well. So please do that if you haven't already, and tell your friends as well. So thank you all very, very much, Jagar Dev.
Thank you. How do you follow that?
Very sweet. Our next recipient, I'll let Dr. Keith Wallace introduce him. Peter has been very instrumental in the last 12 months or so at the Fairfield Peace Palace, getting our advanced lecture tally up quite high, and it's an interesting thing. The very first time that he agreed to come to speak at our advanced lecture at the Peace Palace, the tape we played, it was a new tape series that had just been sent to us, and it was a tape that was made in the early 70s, and it was this young scientist challenging Maharshi. I mean, and not letting go. He was just, and Maharshi was so patient and really this unbelievable wave of knowledge came out. And that was Dr. Keith Wallace. So it was really a great, great lecture. And Peter and myself, we had a lot of fun. So I'd like to call upon Dr. Keith Wallace, the first scientist of the Age of Enlightenment, to come up and... And yeah, Peter will come up as well.
Dev, it's I have to thank the TM Center and Wally and Alan Oga for giving me once again the opportunity to thank my brother for introducing me to Maharishi many, many years ago. And I think I can say without a doubt that in this room and in probably, well, not necessarily completely in the United States, but almost around the world, Peter is one of the oldest meditators. And I think if you were to trace back your lineage to your teacher and who taught your teacher and where they come from, you'd end up with Peter. He, at a very young age, he went to India, as we've all heard on this beautiful talk Peter has given many times. And there he met Maharishi. First he went to see a very great lady saint who didn't actually teach meditation, but it says quite something in that day and age. If you were that a young man and you were to go to India all by yourself and go to meet with a great saint, and that you were going to give your life, because Peter at that time had come from, you know, a Los Angeles upbringing to go to live the life of a sannyasi in India. That was a very brave undertaking. And he and my older brother were very deep in meditation. They really, really cared about it at an age when nobody even thought about it. And Peter then went to India. I love the story. He got on a train in Calcutta, went third class, all the way across Calcutta, finally to Bombay, which, if you have any idea what it's like at that time, that was really, that was courageous for sure for a Westerner. And then he spent 6 months with Ananda Moy Ma, a very great saint that Gurudev and Maharishi revered very highly. And of course, as you're all aware of the story, Peter was then sent to go see Maharishi. Now, this was a unique time because, you know, the people that were meditating at that time were mostly older people. There really were no younger people at all. And it was a time when, you know, Maharishi had been around the world several times, so he'd had quite a lot of success, but it was a completely different group. And that group had their own kind of undertaking, very wonderful, very sweet, very dedicated people, but it kind of had its own life. And Maharishi, I remember one time in Los Angeles, he was going to retire back to the Himalayas. This was 1965 or something, and Maharishi said, oh, there's quality but not quantity. So Peter was the instrument of nature to visit Maharishi. And of course, you know, this, everyone in the early days of the movement, I mean, they dream of being Maharishi's secretary. This would be an honor that anybody could even imagine of having, and, you know, many people tried and lasted for some period of time, but the 24-hour-a-day schedule Maharishi kept was hard for anyone. But Peter was Maharishi's secretary there in India. He hadn't even learned TM, but Maharshi had him on the door, taking care of people. And then when Maharshi finally taught Peter, it was a lovely story of Peter very spontaneously getting all his fruit and flowers and being initiated, and Maharshi telling him to go to some cave at the bottom of the Ganges and meditate all day and then come see him at night. And then Peter, at some point, recognizing that he probably hadn't been given a recluse mantra. He was probably given a household mantra because suddenly he wanted to go back to school. And of course, Maharshi said, "Very good." But Maharshi was very different in those days because Maharshi was very curious about everything. And he would ask so many different questions about every detail. It was really charming time, a very special and unique time, and Peter had a kind of opportunity that probably, you know, any of us would want lifetimes to have that opportunity. Such a unique and special relationship with Maharshi. And he traveled in Europe with Maharshi, and then as soon as he came back to the United States, he grabbed his little brother and just, you know, basically forced me to come to some lectures and to eventually meet Maharshi. And after I had some introductory lectures there at the early TM group, and then Peter brought me up to Lake Arrowhead where I met Maharshi. And in those days, you know, it was such a kind of interesting thing, again, because there was maybe six couples around Maharshi all the time. Maharshi was doing the Gita, and Peter it was just such a sweet way. I mean, can you imagine anything better than having your older brother bring you to Maharshi? You couldn't ask for a better gift of life. And he introduced me to Maharshi, and that was my joy at that moment. And then we spent for the next, I don't know how many years together, we were just always at Maharshi's feet when he came to Los Angeles. Anytime Maharshi gave a course anywhere near there, we were there. We'd go up to Canada, unannounced, bring our tent with us and just say, "Okay, well, we're going to camp out." And the organizers would just be horrified. They'd say, no, you can't do that, you know. And there were bears. So you couldn't really do that, actually, you know. And Maharshi was just relentless with us both. He would just, right from the beginning, he would just say, "You've got to organize the students. You've got to organize the students." He went even so far in Canada and up at Emerald Lake in 1965 to tell us that the German movement was huge, student movement. And we looked at each other, and that was unbelievable to us. The Germans could have beat us, you know, somehow, you know. And Maharshi knew our competitive spirit, and we drove back from Canada, first of all, unstressing our brains out. Maharshi had never even explained what unstressing was. We'd be doing 11 hours of meditation a day. And then we were just absolutely dedicated toward doing what Maharshi wanted, starting the student movement. So we did that when we came back. And very quickly it became huge, and it just grew into something very great. Peter went on to teacher training, and so did I. And Peter very kindly, too, at that time, Ted was born at that time, and he and his wife took care of Ted when Ted was just a baby, so I could go on teacher training. Maharshi arranged it all, said, "Peter, we'll do this and that." So it's very sweet. And Peter went on to, you know, teach and in Rhode Island. Anybody was at the Rhode Island campaign will know Peter was there, and went on to come to MUM and take the cities and do the graduate program, MBA, and to eventually to end up here on the Invincible America course, taking the recertified governor course, and really kind of, you know, dedicating his life once again to Maharshi. He had to fulfill his destiny as a householder, and then once that was filled, to come back here and then just be purely dedicated toward enlightenment. So in an interesting sense, we all can thank Peter for learning meditation, because without him, he was the link that allowed a whole generation to be exposed to meditation, and a whole generation of teachers to come up to teach, and so many great things that happen. And that is just his karma, unfathomable as it is. He had that unique karma to be in that position at that time and to devote himself to Maharishi and to grab his little brother and put me on the path too. So I am eternally grateful for that, and I think that it's a very, very fitting and beautiful thing that we get to honor Peter tonight and to give him that beautiful reward, the Maharishi Award, which is really such a wonderful gesture for an individual whose heart is so huge and who has really recognized Maharishi at such a young age and was able to fulfill his destiny as that unique tool to link us all to having such a glorious and beautiful master as Maharishi. So thank you, Peter, once again.
I guess I'll do it. You go ahead. You can do it. All right. I want to say you can sit, Peter. I'll bring the mic to you.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Let me give you your award here. Well, you can say what I have to say. Just on behalf of the ministry.
So on behalf of the Ministry of Development of Consciousness, I'd like to present this award to Dr. Peter Wallace, a great, great man and great, great friend, and an inspiration to the whole community.
I had a stroke, so my emotions are kind of, open. So I'll just work hard to say a few words. First of all, Keith was a great blessing because I should think he should get the reward because he was a genius student and he's decided to study physics because Maharishi studied physics and he was top in his class at UCLA, and then he went on to do neurophysiology without a PhD, without getting a master's degree, and he took a few courses in physiology and went on to write a paper in Scientific American that was his thesis on the fifth state of consciousness. So he was really invaluable. I think if it had been me on my narrow shoulders, it would have I could have given my devotion, but I never could have given my genius the way Keith did. Keith gave his devotion and his genius, and I just followed Keith at that point to help him. You can see pictures of me with all these wires coming out of my head. Keith is the scientist, and I can tell you this is. Picture is interesting because it's very much what Maharishi looked like in 1962 to 63 when I first met him, and he basically was so open, so very open, and I better not talk about Maharishi because that won't work, but the point was that. When Keith came to him, he immediately recognized what Maharishi was. He immediately surrendered himself, completely dedicated himself. If there's anybody that started the movement for students, It was Keith, because he walked into the dean's office and, you know, we were trembling, you know. And I think some altercation had happened with the Vietnam War or something, because the dean was not in the mood to be bold. And so he immediately gave us the papers, right, Keith? And we, next thing we know, we had rooms and posters and everything like that. It was a great nature support, and it was wonderful. And Keith became very, very close to Maharshi. You know, he's very humble, because he just talks about how, you know, great I was, but he was so close to Maharshi, and I was so close to Keith, and so. So I guess that's it. Not turn this into a long speech or anything. We can do that some other time if you like. But I've always wanted a Maharshi Award. I've dreamed of it. And I don't know if I can say this, but without, you know, getting emotional, but I love every one of you so much. And, you know, those of you I know very well, I'm very, very close to, but those I don't know well, you know, come and see me anytime, because, you know, you're the most special group. You and the pundits are the leading edge, cutting edge of world history. And it doesn't seem like sometimes, you know, when we're all in the thick of it, but the pundits and this group are making history. And all I can say is just thank you, pundits, and thank you, Siddhas, for especially you guys who do the long program and so on. It's just all of you. It's great. Thank you.
Some of your emotional stuff was left on the mic. So next, I'd like to call Bill the locksmith Grazer. Grazer's his last name, everyone. Okay. Bill, he's been here 8 years. He also was on the Long Island, New York TM Center. He taught there for 16 years. Is that right? Yeah, 16 years. He was a TM teacher in Long Island. And he's been doing poetry for about 20 years. So, Bill, please grace us.
Jai Gurudev. It's a real honor for poetry and myself to be a part of such a gathering. I have just 5 cookie-sized poems and a box. I'll start with the poems. Something to know. The old tree by the old school knows something. Look at it and you'll see. A city of leaves above a single trunk, and the way the sun comes to it, and the rain, and roots a cellar full of monks making wine, while in any weather wearing but a simple bark robe. But more than this is the stillness, the poised grace, as if ever it needs move, a breeze comes. I'm sorry I said that wrong. As if the only place it ever needs to be is right where it is. And if ever it needs move, a breeze comes. I'll get the rest of them right. Sisters, I'm waiting for a bus on Long Island, where most people have cars. But those who don't wait for a bus. And two sisters are playing, the one maybe four, the other almost three, when they look up, as I do too, to see from above a feather floating. And where it lands, they run to pick it up. But the older, reaching out her hand, stops, letting the younger, who just arrived, being slower of legs, be the first to touch it, to hold it high, who then offers it to her sister, who holds it high, who then offers it to me. The church of the old car. I'm on the side of the road, hood up, watching the shiny cars pass, waiting for a faded one, dented with rust, to show the jumper cables to. Someone who'll look me in the eye, who'll say when I thank them, it's okay, someday I'll need a jump too. Like this, we of the church of the old car rise from pews of worn upholstery, open our hoods in offering, and unite through a pair of jumper cables. Common in the conviction that an old car will get us there, and humbled, for it's all we can afford. And when the weary engine runs again, we return to the road, richer in brotherhood, and bolder in the belief, but by the hands of Providence on the two ends of a jumper cable, we will make it there in peace. Thank you. I dreamed that all the soldiers who ever died came back alive, that bullets like sparrows flew from their wounds, that limbs blown off rose up to join them. They wore not uniforms, but were naked, stood not with their platoons, but surrounded by men of all nations. Slowly, the space between them withdrew until there was no space, and they touched. No one was afraid. And one more poem, and this in terms of cookie size is a little bigger cookie, but there'll still be plenty of room for cake. What you may not know about Frankenstein. although he had not the hands to crochet, the patience to build birdhouses, or the nerve to push a hook through a worm in the hope of pulling a fish from the sea, he did write poems and wrote often and late into the night. Was it pain that made him write, the pain of all those stitches, or shoes that despite their size were still too small? Was it psychological pain of social non-acceptance, or the electricity that years later still sparked between his fingers? No, it was just what his brain wanted to do, the brain they dug up and sewed into his head. It was just grave-robbing luck. At poetry readings, where everyone is welcome, he shared his poem sounding like a man who, having fallen into a well and cried out for years, was now finally being heard. Like this, there are many so-called monsters with poems to share. The same is true of angels, of gangsters, shepherds, anyone who fits words together like body parts, revises again until magically, beautifully, lightning leaps from the pen and the poem opens its eyes, sits up from the page, staggers into the world, and whether it is seen as monster or friend, it is alive. Every word it says is real, and it comes not from the grave, but from the sky. So I just, in closing, show you something. I wish I had one for all of you, but soon you will have to get these because very soon we will all need them. It has to do with the opening of the third eye. That's better. To some of you, or to some people, this may look strange. But to those having the experience, the world never looked better. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So now, in concluding, we're going to slip back into the Gandharva Veda mode. And we'd like to thank the... Well, we'll get into the closing at the end. So right now, we'll just slip back into Gandharva Veda. And what I'd like to do is welcome Binoy back on stage. And we'll have Werner Elkmer will be playing with him. Okay. Now, Binoy, we know. I've already introduced him. Werner is a concert pianist. He's also a composer, and he also plays the swaramandal. Is that correct? Swaramandal? Yes. Okay. And he's been here in Fairfield at MUM for over 25 years. So without further ado, we'll slip in. Now, I did say that I wouldn't talk much tonight, so I kept my bargain. Okay. I can. There was just too much to be said from everyone else's side. So I'd like to welcome Binoy and Werner.
Bhagishri is a late evening raga. Bhagishri means is the goddess of knowledge. And theme of this raga is there's a Vedic expression. All of you know very well. Dure drisham grihapati matharyam. Far, far away in the distance, the indweller of the house, the self, is saying, reverberating. So that's the theme today. smile should be there. Did you like it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. a little bit more, and then it's late to go home. So at least
thank you.
this raga's picture a little bit. It's like Vishnu with his disc. He's playing. He's throwing the disc and coming to his hand, finger, this way. He's doing his play. He's enjoying himself. It's like that.
Thank you.
So before we start the next presentation of awards, no, thank you very much. That was very sublime and transcendental. And it may be a little redundant to say when we say thanks to Maharshi and Gurudev, because everything we do is Maharshi Gandharva Ved, Maharshi Pandit Program, Maharshi School of the Age of Enlightenment. The building is Maharshi Stapacha Ved, and it's in our life everywhere. So it's really great that Maharshi had this concept 35 years ago to start with this celebration idea 4 times a year to give us the opportunity to just remember our 4 points in the year and how to proceed forward with that fullness and happiness. And I want to thank Benoy and Werner for being here on this portion of it, and Karen, you're still here? Oh, there. Karen for being in the beginning part. And Bill, you're still here, all the ones that have made it through. Thank you so much for helping us with this. And of course, our award recipients are what sparked such an amazing outpouring of knowledge and love for the things that have made this movement what it is, and it's going to carry it into the future. So without further ado, this is pretty much concludes this celebration. But I just want to say thanks to the few people that have helped put it together. It's not really that easy to throw all this together at the last minute, which we kind of do because we wait right up until Doug and Linda finish CIC, and then we jump into doing the summer celebration. So this is really a wild time for us. But I want to thank Bobby Ringwalt, who helped. Carla Nelson, who's been running around cutting cake. Olga and Ron, who work with me over at the Peace Palace. Catherine Coffey came and helped a lot today. But really the person who kind of carried the whole thing for the last month and a half, and organized with Benoy to actually get the concert going, was Ellen Roth, and carrying in her brothers. And then we had Tony Halen, he kind of did the sound mixing and kind of kept everything going tonight, so I thank him as well. And please go to the back of the room and enjoy some wonderful organic, non-GMO carrot cake that was made by Gourmet Creations, which is Judy Palma. So, and if I've missed it, I want to thank the Pradhans for lighting our light, and they light our light every day when they work with us at the center and doing MBVT. So I'm sure I've missed someone, but thank you so much, Jay Gurudev, and see you. Oh, I want to say one thing. I want to thank Alexandria for not having her baby today. So, because otherwise I told him I would fly them to Iowa City to the hospital, so we'll do it tomorrow. So, Jay Gurudev.